In the case of marriage, you will advise one person how he should conduct himself with a wife who before her marriage was a maiden, and another how he should behave with a woman who had previously been wedded to another. How the husband of a rich woman should act, or another man with a dowerless spouse. Or do you not think that there is some difference between a barren woman and one who bears children, between one advanced in years and a mere girl, between a mother and a stepmother? We cannot include all the types, and yet each type requires separate treatment. But the laws of philosophy are concise and are binding in all cases. Moreover, the precepts of wisdom should be definite and certain. When things cannot be defined, they are outside the sphere of wisdom, for wisdom knows the proper limits of things. We should therefore do away with this department of precepts, because it cannot afford to all what it promises only to a few. Wisdom, however, embraces all. Between the insanity of people in general and the insanity which is subject to medical treatment, there is no difference, except that the latter is suffering from disease and the former from false opinions. In the one case, the symptoms of madness may be traced to ill health. The other is the ill health of the mind. If one should offer precepts to a madman, how he ought to speak, how he ought to walk, how he ought to conduct himself in public and private, that one would be more of a lunatic than the madman whom he was advising. What is really necessary is to treat the black bile and remove the essential cause of the madness. And this is what should also be done in the other case, that of the mind diseased. The madness itself must be shaken off. Otherwise, your words of advice will vanish into thin air. This is what Aristo says, and I shall answer his arguments one by one. First, in opposition to what he says about one's obligation to remove that which blocks the eye and hinders the vision, I admit that such a person does not need precepts in order to see, but that he needs treatment for the curing of his eyesight and the getting rid of the hindrance that handicaps him. For it is nature that gives us our eyesight, and he who removes obstacles restores to nature her proper function. But nature does not teach us our duty in every case. Again, if a man's cataract is cured, he cannot, immediately after his recovery, give back their eyesight to other men also. But when we are freed from evil, we can free others also. There is no need of encouragement, or even of counsel, for the eye to be able to distinguish different colors. Black and white can be differentiated without prompting from another. The mind, on the other hand, needs many precepts in order to see what it should do in life, although in eye treatment also, the physician not only accomplishes the cure, but gives advice into the bargain. He says, "There is no reason why you should at once expose your weak vision to a dangerous glare. Begin with darkness, and then go into half lights. And finally, be more bold, accustoming yourself gradually to the bright light of day. There is no reason why you should study immediately after eating. There is no reason why you should impose hard tasks upon your eyes when they are swollen and inflamed. Avoid winds and strong blasts of cold air that blow into your face. And other suggestions of the same sort, which are just as valuable as drugs themselves. The physician's art supplements remedies by advice. But, comes the reply, error is the source of sin. Precepts do not remove error, nor do they rout our false opinions on the subject of good and evil. I admit that precepts alone are not effective in overthrowing the mind's mistaken beliefs, but they do not on that account fail to be of service when they accompany other measures also. In the first place, they refresh the memory. In the second place, when sorted into their proper classes, the matters which showed themselves in a jumbled mess when considered as a whole can be considered in this with greater care. According to our opponent's theory, you might even say that consolation and exhortation were superfluous, yet they are not superfluous.